Grace be to you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I'll begin today simply by saying, dear friends in Christ, I thought maybe a good thing to do for us would be to start out with some sentence completion. So see how well you do. You can just shout it out through your mask. That's fine. Start with this one. Actions speak louder than... You're good at this. All right. Next one. You can't judge a book by its... Excellent. Next one, it takes two to tango. How about absence makes the heart grow? Very good. A penny saved is a penny. And the last one, you have to forgive and forget. That last one just sort of seems to fit right in with all the others, doesn't it? And maybe it's just the alliteration of it all. Forgive and forget. Just sort of flows, right? Maybe of all the spiritual sayings we're going to be taking a look at during the sermon series, this one probably rolls off the tongue the easiest, I would think. It could be the alliteration. It could be maybe it's something you learned as a little boy or a little girl, and it's sort of stuck with you all this time. Maybe it just seems to make sense to you. Or maybe it's just something we've heard so much and so often that it just gets ingrained in our thinking. This whole idea of forgive and forget. That whole topic, I suppose, forgiving and forgetting, this issue of forgiving somebody else when they sin against you, it's probably one of the more sensitive topics we're going to talk about during this sermon series. The whole struggle of forgiving somebody when they do something so grievous against you, that gets to be a very difficult thing. Right? It affects just about everybody. At some point, in varying ways, in varying degrees, every one of us has had to struggle with this business of trying to forgive somebody when they do something wrong against us. I've seen it creep into marriages. I've seen it creep into friendships and families. Yes, it even creeps into Christian congregations where people will struggle to forgive someone when something happens in the life of the church. So today, what we're going to do is we are going to take a closer look at this issue of forgiveness and this matter of forgiving someone when they sin against you. And in particular, this whole idea that so many people buy into, that forgiving means forgetting. So, is it possible? Can you even do it? Is it even possible to forgive and forget? And maybe in the smaller things, right? Maybe if it's something small, like you're in the parking lot at the grocery store, somebody cuts in front of you and takes that parking spot that certainly was intended for you. Or maybe somebody says an unkind word to you at work or something like that. Sometimes you can just get past those things. You can put it behind you. Maybe you can even truly get to a point where you really do forget about some of the things that people have said or done against you. But it's not so easy, is it, when it comes to the bigger things? A spouse commits adultery against the other. Someone abuses your son or daughter. Someone is guilty of rape or murder. Maybe a drunk driver does a lot of damage to your loved one, maybe even claiming their life because of their drunk driving. Some of the things that people do against us in our life, it's nearly impossible to simply wipe those things off of your brain, right? And then if you think about it, forgiving means forgetting. maybe then at that point you just throw up your hands and you say, well, I guess I could never forgive you for what you did against me. And sadly enough, that is exactly what so many people say. They actually say it. I could never forgive you. I will not forgive you for what you did against me. You've heard it, I'm sure. Maybe you even heard it coming from your own lips on occasion. Maybe it's crossed your mind on occasion. And that's a problem, isn't it? That's a huge problem. Because, as Pastor Pudlow read in the scripture lesson for today, if you are unwilling to forgive your neighbor when they sin against you, you all of a sudden have a huge problem with God Himself. You are in trouble with God Himself. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told in our lesson for today? Remember the storyline? Jesus told a parable of that servant who owed a lot of money, bags and bags, thousands of bags of gold to the master, a debt he could never possibly hope to repay. And yet he begged the master, please just give me a little bit more time and I'll pay back the debt. The king, for his part, did more for him than he even asked. He simply canceled the debt and sent the man on his way. You would think that a man who had been forgiven that much would have all sorts of joy and gratitude in his heart. But what did he do? He went out and he found a fellow servant and he demanded that he pay back immediately that small amount of money that he owed him. And when the king found out about it, he was furious. He called the servant back in, and what did he do? He restored the debt. And he had the man tortured and thrown into prison until the debt could be repaid, which, of course, was never going to happen. And you remember then how Jesus concluded the whole parable? He said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. An unwillingness to forgive your neighbor when they sin against you, that's such a serious thing. That's a really big problem because you, in the process, you are forfeiting your belief in grace and mercy. And along in that process, at the same time, you are forfeiting God's grace and mercy to you. But let's just take a step back. Let's just take a step back from the whole thing and just examine the thought, examine the whole topic. Of forgiving means forgetting. And to do that, we're going to use two Bible passages, two sections from Scripture. Ephesians 4, you heard, that's the one printed in your bulletin. Colossians chapter 3 is this one. So they're very similar, but this is Colossians 3. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then Ephesians chapter 4, you can follow along there again. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Both of those passages tell us that the pattern for forgiving your neighbor when they sin against you is the pattern of God forgiving us for our sins. Now, if you think then about God's pattern of forgiveness, the way that God forgives you and me for our sins, is it true then that God simply forgets about the sins that we have committed? Interestingly enough, if you look at certain Bible passages in Scripture, you might actually be tempted to think that way. For example, this is Isaiah chapter 43. God said, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Jeremiah 31, same thing. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. But here's the thing. God is omniscient. God knows absolutely everything. That's what the word means. He knows absolutely everything. It would be impossible, wouldn't it, for God to simply forget stuff that we have done, especially sinful behavior that we've done? I think just the fact that God has given us Scripture is proof positive that He does not forget anything. He certainly doesn't forget the sins that people commit. Boy, if you look on the pages of Scripture, it is full of accounts of believer after believer who just commit all sorts of sins against the Lord. A lot of those heroes of faith we looked at last week are included in that list. People like Abraham and Moses and David and a host of other people. Their sins are laid out there for everybody to see in the Bible. How in the world could God ever tell us about the sins of all these believers if He simply forgot the things that they did? The answer is, He didn't forget. So what does the Bible mean then when it says God remembers our sins no more? Well, to help us understand that phrase and what it means, we're going to take a look at a different part of Scripture. Of all things, we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 6, the account of God sending a worldwide flood. You remember what God did, right? He sent floodwaters over the entire earth. And we're told in the book of Genesis that after 150 days of these waters just flooding the entire earth, this is what we're told. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and He sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. What does it mean that God remembered Noah and the others on the ark? Does it mean that He had forgotten about them and all of a sudden He remembered it just like that? Of course not. Remember, God is omniscient, right? He remembers absolutely everything. He doesn't forget a single thing. When it says that God remembered Noah, and when God remembers anything else on the pages of Scripture, it's using a human expression to describe God now being stirred to action to do something. So after 150 days of water just flooding the entire earth, God was stirred to action to do something. He was stirred to action to send that wind so that the waters would recede. So let's apply that to those passages that says God remembers our sins no more. Remember, God is omniscient. He doesn't forget a single thing. It's not that God simply forgets about our sins. It's just that God does not choose to be stirred to action against your sins and mine. God chooses not to punish us for our sins. He chooses not to hold those sins against us. He chooses to simply, like I say, remove us from the responsibility or the punishment to pay for those sins. God doesn't forget about the things that we did. He doesn't sweep our sins under the rug. He doesn't ignore our sins or pretend that they don't exist. God doesn't simply say, I'm not going to hold them accountable for anything. God doesn't just let people off the hook. God dealt with our sins. He dealt with our sins head on. He took our sins and He dealt with them on the cross through His own Son, as He paid for our sins. Jesus was the one who intercepted our Heavenly Father's wrath and anger and judgment against sin. God was not stirred to action against you and me and our sins because He was stirred to action against His own Son in punishing Him for your sins and mine on that cross in our place, so that we have the forgiveness of sins. Remember then what Colossians 3 said, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have to be able to forget all the deep hurts that anybody has caused you during the course of your life. And you can make the case, it's nearly impossible to forget all of the things that people have done against you. And you could even make the case that it's probably not a good idea to forget all the things that people have done. And for example, if somebody has violated a serious trust it might be a very wise decision going forward, at least for a time, not to entrust that person with things and to be very careful around them. If somebody acts carelessly or dangerously, it might be a very wise thing to be extra careful what you say around them, what you do around them, what you do with them. But at the same time, we always forgive. We always forgive them. We choose not to be stirred to action against them when it comes to how we view them in our heart. We choose not to punish them for their sin. We choose not to hold that sin against them for whatever they've done against us. We're reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, where he said, "A vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." This is hard, isn't it? These are difficult things. Because let's face it, it's one thing to say, "I forgive you and I don't hold that sin against you." It's completely another thing to actually say those words and mean it in your heart and then live it in your life. You know, when you find it difficult to forgive someone for a grievous sin that they have committed against you, it's always good to go back and remember the forgiveness that God has given to you. Examine your life. Examine your life in the light of those Ten Commandments that the Lord has given to us. Take some time sometime to read through those commandments slowly and carefully. And you can note with each one how you have violated each of those commandments against the Lord with your thoughts and your words and your actions. Someone even said once, pick your best remembering spot. If it's a walk along the park or a walk in your neighborhood or a walk along the beach, wherever it is that you think best and remember the best, take a walk and remember. Try to remember the things that you have done against the Lord. Maybe all the way back to that cookie in the cookie jar that you weren't supposed to take on mom's counter, or the sins of your youth, all the way up to today. If you can keep things in perspective, how many sins God has forgiven me for in comparison to the relatively few sins that people have committed against me, it really helps to remember, if God could be that gracious and compassionate to me, I can pass that on to somebody else. It's always good, though, to simply ask the Lord for help, right? To ask the Lord for help. Too often, I think we try to take that responsibility to think we have to generate all these things by ourselves. We have to find a way somehow to forgive somebody for what they did against us. Sometimes we'll think, well, maybe they were just having a bad day, and that's why they did what they did against me. Or maybe we'll think, well, what they did against me didn't have that great of an impact on me and my life, so I'm just going to focus on other things. Or maybe we'll say, maybe if I just try to understand why they did what they did against me, then I'll be able to be okay with it. But forgiving is not just trying to make excuses for the sins that people commit. Forgiveness on the part of a Christian is recognizing the situation for what it is. Somebody sinned against the Lord, and in the process, they sinned against me too. And I simply choose not to hold that sin against them. I choose not to punish them for that sin. That takes the Lord's help, doesn't it? To do that kind of forgiving. What a blessing, then, that we can go to the Lord anytime and we can say, "Lord, I need some help with my heart. I need some willingness in my heart to forgive my neighbor." You can pray. You can pray and say, "God, I am so messed up with this situation, I am finding it very difficult to forgive the other person. Lord, but I know what your word says about your love filling my heart from your forgiveness and the ability then to forgive somebody else. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill my heart with your love from your forgiveness. Help me to remember the sins that I've committed against you and the grace and love you've given to me in Christ. Help me to use that love to share that love and forgive somebody else for whatever they've done against me. And he'll do it. And he'll do it. Forgiving means forgetting. Actually, it's just the opposite. Forgiving means remembering. Remembering the huge amount of debt of sin that I owe to the Lord. Remembering the grace and the love and the compassion of my God toward me in forgiving my sins in Christ. And remembering the help that he promises to give me whenever I ask him for it, to show that very same love toward my neighbor when they sin against me. May God help us all to remember all those things so that we will always, always, always forgive our neighbor. Amen.